Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez,
99.3. Oh, he's a wonder.
He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord in Senla and in Miss Lou.
Community Ministry, welcoming you to another opportunity to transform your life. Did you know that you possess the power and the responsibility to determine your future and destiny? Did you know that you are the sum total of the choices and decisions you make every day? However, the ability for you to make the right decisions for a life that will lead to your God-given destiny depends on your quality of knowledge. Self-development demands self-discipline. It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand, as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest and God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective member on this path as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise the Lord, saints. Hey, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God. As always, you know, what an awesome honor and an awesome privilege and opportunity to allow God to use me in whichever way he will see fit, to share with you all the love of God. Boy, let me tell you something, boy. The greatest of all is love. Hallelujah. I'm going to say that again. The greatest of all is love. For God, he is love. And boy, he loves us so much. I mean, boy, he loves us so much. Who can grasp his infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depths of his love? No, listen. He's too marvelous for words. His love is too wonderful for comprehension. Like those songs say, it's like nothing that ever been seen or heard. I say it again, who can grasp his infinite wisdom? And who can fathom the depths of his love? Boy, God loves us. And again, I say it's an awesome honor and awesome privilege that he was allow me, that he would use me. You know, God picks up seemingly what's nothing. And he'll take what seemingly is nothing, and boy, he'll make something great out of us. And listen, here's the good news. That's not just for a selected few. That's for every last one of us. Every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl. For without him, we are nothing. I'm going to say that again. Listen, separated from him, we are nothing. I don't care, boy, if you got all the money in the world. I don't care if you live in the finest house, drive the finest car, live the finest life in this natural world. You ain't nothing without God. All of that ain't nothing without God. And boy, he loved us so much that he wanted us to be able to look past this, so he would allow me to come on his radio broadcast and share with y'all, you know, that love of God. I told you it's the greatest force in the universe. The most powerful force in the universe is his word. But the greatest is his love. I'm lost. Listen, his word, his word is the word of life. Glory to God. His love is what manifests that life. And the good news is the gospel is that most powerful force in the universe that's governed and influenced and motivated by his love takes seemingly nothing and makes something out of it. Even in creation, it was nothing. And God took nothing, boy, and created the whole, the heavens and the earth. Remember I said seemingly nothing? Yes. I told you, take nothing and make something great out of it. Seemingly, it was nothing. But when it was articulated, when it first was an idea, and then when it was articulated, that which seemingly was nothing slung this whole universe into existence. It's a powerful force. The word of God. And I told you, boy, it's the most powerful force in the universe. This in heaven and earth don't pass away, but the word of God, it's going to abide forever. And boy, since it's going to abide forever, boy, it'd be in all our best interest, boy, to get that word on the inside of us. What word is that, Arthur? The word of his love. Thank God for his grace. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for everything. And all things we thank God for. Boy, but most of all, boy, I thank him that he loves us so. You know, his love covers a multitude of sins. You know what that's saying? I mean, his love for us covers all our faults and mistakes, all our weaknesses and inability, all of our sins and shortcomings, all of our iniquity. David wrote it in Psalm, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless his holy name, who forgiveth all our iniquities, who healeth all our diseases, who redeems our life from destruction and crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies, so that our youth is renewed like the eagle. What do you crown us with, boy? A crown of righteousness. What are you talking about, Arthur? I'm talking about the love of God, the love of the Father in heaven, the love of the Creator of the universe. That love that he has for you and I. And if we really knew that love, well, we're going to run into him. Even when we fall down, even when we miss it, even when we make mistakes, even when we fall short of the mark, instead of running from God and feeling condemned and unworthy, well, you will run to the love of God. Because the love of God, boy, will doctor that thing up and fix it up, man, and put it back on course toward his original purpose and destination. What's his original purpose and destination, boy? That which was seemingly nothing, he took and made something great out of. So I said all that to say this, you know, I thank God for his grace and his mercy in everything. But boy, I thank him so much that he loves us. He so loves us, boy, that he sent his son. That took what was seemingly nothing and reversed that, man. Reversed that to what, Arthur? To what it originally was. Something great. And something mighty. And something created, man, by our Father in heaven, the Most High God, Elohim, whatever name you want to give. That was created by him. In Genesis chapter 1, in the record of creation, man, after each day he said it was good. The second day after he did that, he said it was good. The third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth. On the fifth day, he said it's good. On the sixth day, he said it's very good. Everything that he did and everything that he made, let me tell you something. It don't matter what it seemed like, look good, it may be like, boy, it was good. And that what he made that was good, well, he loved that so much, and all those who dwell in it, and who is all those who dwell in it? That's all mankind. It's available for all mankind to dwell in because it was ours before the foundation of the world. I told you first it was in the mind of God. It was an original thought. It was an idea. First thing he do is decide what he want. Then he decide what he want. And after he decide what he want, he decide what he wanted made from. Then he speak. David said it this way, Lord, teach me your precepts. So when I get your precepts, Lord, then all my concepts will be in line with what you're doing. What he said, say it plain on. Lord, show me what you, I want to know what's in your heart, what's in your mind, what your original thoughts were, what your original intent is, what you doing, Lord. Not what we could do for you, and not our will, and not our kingdom, and not our way, Lord, and not our plans, Lord, but I want to know what you're doing. And I want to get in on that. Because many are the plans in our hearts, and they're good plans. If we're not careful, we try to get God, incorporate God in on what we do. And let me tell you something, that's a good thing. But a greater thing is to see from our words what we're doing and get in on the work that he's doing. Because on each one of them days that he was in creation, he said it was good, especially on the sixth day when he created you and I. And then on the seventh day, guess what? He rested. And boy, we get in on what we're doing, then we can enter into that rest too. Listen, you can know the truth. And the truth, boy, set you free or make you free. Free from what? Free from anything that we need freedom from. What that truth is, Arthur, boy, that truth is in the most powerful force in the universe. What that truth is in his word. Remember what Jesus said, I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. That word truth there means the reality of the real, and not just the real, that which was honest, but the reality of it, the manifestation of it. That's what brings glory to God. Not just how well we can articulate the word and how well we know the word and how well we can stir up man, people's emotions. How much of this word, boy, we can manifest. That's what brings glory to his name. I used to wonder why, you know, people didn't just, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't go there. But I'm just gear off for a moment and say this. I never could understand why people, boy, wouldn't flock to the kingdom, to the gospel of the kingdom. Then I discovered something. Paul said it in this way. He said, listen, our speech and our preaching, our teaching is not just with enticing words of our knowledge, but in demonstration and in power. Why? So that the faith of the hearers don't stand in the wisdom of a man, but in the power of God. That means why our faith is no longer in man, what the man say. We ain't just hearing what the man say, but what we hearing what the Holy Spirit is saying to us about what the man said. We hearing the voice of God. Boy, when we hear the voice of God, then our speech and our preaching won't be just enticing words of our knowledge and understanding and wisdom, but it'll be in demonstration and in power. What you mean, Art? In other words, boy, let me tell you something. This gospel of the kingdom can't just be preached. You got to be manifested. Listen, Jesus went about doing good and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and disease. He wasn't just telling the people that the kingdom of heaven was available to him, boy. He was casting out devils, opening blind eyes, unstopping deaf ears, causing the lame to walk, the dumb to talk, even the dead to be raised to life again. And then he preached the gospel to us. What gospel is that on? He said, because of the most powerful force in the universe, the word of God, and because of the love of God for his children, then the work that I do, that you see me do, you can do too. You know why that ain't manifesting in the earth? Because we don't have, you know, business. In this kingdom, boy, there's a law called the law of faith. Everything that's in this kingdom, it doesn't just happen to us like ripe cherries falling out the tree. All your inheritance is just going to come up on you. Man, you got to seek first the kingdom of God. You got to enter into his rest. What you see from your words, and you just seek. Seek what, boy? Seek the kingdom of God. Seek that most powerful force in the universe. Seek that love. Go after that. And boy, if you seek, you're going to find. If you ask, it'll be given unto you. And if you knock, the door will be open. How come they're not in demonstration and in power? Because, Lord, for it to be operating in demonstration and power, that takes faith. Faith in what? Faith in the most powerful force in the universe. And the greatest force in the universe. The word of God and the love of God. That takes faith. That's a law in the kingdom. I ain't talking about the laws of Moses. There's a law that God gave to Adam and Eve and the children of God after the fall. Well, there's that law been fulfilled. And the prophecies, man, that a Messiah is coming, man, all that's been fulfilled. That ain't something that's going to happen. That's something that's already happened. Listen, it happened before the foundation of the world. I told you, first thing he did was decide what he wanted. Once he decided what he wanted, man, let me tell you something. And he's speaking. It's a done deal. Even if it take a trillion years to manifest itself. But it's all in the process of manifestation. Why? Because it's the most powerful force in the universe. It's the spoken word of God. And the love of God that's displayed by the Holy Spirit. You know, the Bible says this. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So that love of God that's manifested in the earth, how are they going to be manifested in the earth, God? Not by power, nor by might. I ain't talking about, man, you know, natural love. I'm talking about the agape love. It's shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. What you saying, Arthur? I'm saying, boy, and that love, talking about manifesting it in the earth, maybe the way God wants to manifest it in the earth is through you. It's through me. It's through us. It's us, man, coming past the gates of thanksgiving, past, what do you mean, past our praise and our service and our thanking God. That's a good thing. You got to start there. You can't come no other way. Past the course of praise. Listen, that's all in the process, but I'm talking about, man, there's a going on in God. Like Pastor Liddy said over there, let's go out and ministry in him. But there's a going on in God. You can't just stop at the gate. You can't just stop at the course of praise. You can't just stop at going to church and going and having church service and worship service and everything else. Man, there's a going on, glory to God. I said again, boy, there's a going on in our God. What? Until we reach the fullness of our stature of Christ. What's that? Till we be a fixed, predictable image of Christ himself. Till we be just like him. Because, boy, that's how God created us. That's what he said. Listen, that's what he said, man, not in the beginning, but that which was from the beginning. That's the difference between in the beginning and Genesis chapter 1. And in 1 John chapter 1, this is what it said. Listen at this. It said that which was from the beginning. That which we have seen and our hands have held and our ears have heard of the word of life. Hallelujah. That's what we declare unto you. For what purpose? So that you too can have fellowship with God. And of a truth, our fellowship is with the Father, with the with the Word, His Son, Jesus Christ, and with His love, the Holy Spirit, the power of God. That's who our fellowship is with. And growing up into those things like that, boy, listen to it, we become, man, the representative of God. And our speech and our teaching just won't be with good sermons and good messages that stir up people's emotions, but it'll change lives. It'll change darkness into light. It'll change Christianity into ambassadorship. It'll change sickness into health. It'll change poverty into wealth. It'll change racism and hatred, man, into love. It'll change death into life. Hey, how God gonna get all that done? How God is doing all this thing, man? I told you, boy, listen. We are His crown and glory. We are His chosen generation. We are His royal priesthood representatives. We are His ambassadors. I told you, if He's going to get that done, He's going to get that done through His children. Through us. He can't come in this earth and do it without us. Let me say something right here, and we come back and put seed on that. Maybe that'll be a serious one these days. Let me tell you something. We can't do nothing without God. Like I told you at first, man, I don't care who you are, what the deal is, man, you know. Without God, you can't do nothing. I don't care if you got all the money in the world. It can't buy you everlasting life. It can't get your sins forgiven. It can't translate you out of the kingdom of darkness over into the kingdom of God's dear Son. It can't stop you from dying. No. I tell you, boy, without Him, we can't do nothing. And watch this. Without us, He won't do nothing. Listen, we need Him, and He need us. I'm going to say that again. We need Him in the heart in which it is. And we need Him. And He needs us. The Bible says we are workers together with Christ Jesus unto good works. What's that good work? To manifest that most powerful force in the universe. And the greatest force in the universe to manifest it, to be led in the reality of that. To that same love that God loved each and every last one of us with individually and collectively, that shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, that we might love one another in that same way, that we might love God like He loved us, and that we might love one another. And therein is the fulfillment of all of the law. I say it again. And therein is the fulfillment of all of the law. I told you that's the greatest force in the universe. When we were walking, man, living and walking and talking and operating, and the greatest force in the universe was the love of God. How is God going to get that in our hearts, man? By the Holy Spirit. How are we going to do that, man, through the Holy Spirit? The Bible says not that we love Him, but that He first loved us. What? He first loved us. Listen, man, you can't love God, man, the way you want to be loved. He got that love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. He got to first love us. He got to love. He's not asking us, man, just stop and just start loving Him. No, He got to show us His love for us first. It is the goodness of God and the love of God that draw all men unto repentance. That draw all men unto Him. He said, with loving kindness have I drawn you. And why is this here? Them who He loves, He chastens too. We don't chasten with no sickness and disease and poverty and hatred and until we say, okay, Daddy, I'm not going to do that no more. Okay, Daddy, I see that that's not right. He'll never condemn us. I told you, boy, he loves us. He loves us. And you know how he's making that known? Through the gospel. Whenever you hear the word gospel, you need to, I don't want to plant a seed. Whenever you hear the word gospel, you need to take it, man, past that seed form, because that's all it is at first. When God's word comes to us, it's in the seed form. But that seed, man, in order for it to produce, man, what it said, it got to be planted. It got to be sown. If you just have the seed and don't never plant it, don't never apply it, don't never, you know, grow up in it, and let it grow up on the inside of you. How you grow up in it? And you abide in it, and it abide in you. But the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of God's word. What word, boy? The gospel. So let me just plant this seed, you know. Whenever you see or hear the word gospel in the kingdom, you need to specify what gospel it is. Because the word gospel comes from a Greek word, evangelion, and it simply means glad tidings. Good news. And what good news? Listen, if somebody told you, man, you know, you just inherited, man, $1 million, man, that's gospel. That's good news. Man, I'm not talking about no any gospel. That's a specific gospel. Everybody is talking about in this Bible, it ain't just no any good news. It's a specific good news that all the other good news is contained in it. Listen, you're more than just an heir of $1 million. You are heir of the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. But watch this. If you don't know that, if you ain't been told that, I ain't talking about no once in a while. You know why you got faith in the fact that, man, you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you saved? Because, boy, that's what you've been hearing and hearing. You know why you got faith that Jesus Christ died up on the cross for your sins? Why? And Calvary and everything else, and that he rose from the dead on Easter Sunday. Nobody, you got faith in that, man, because that's what you've been hearing. Faith comes by hearing. You know what you ain't been hearing? You ain't been hearing a specific gospel. That all the other gospels that you've been hearing is contained in it. Do you know you could preach all the other gospels that's contained in the specific gospel and never preach the specific gospel? But if you preach this specific gospel, all the other gospels are contained in it. I'll just say it simple. Let me tell you something, man. You do the math, man. How many men messages have you heard, man, that the all of the kingdom of heaven, man, is available to you? How many sermons have you heard on the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven? Well, that's the central focus of the message. You know, every message that you proclaim, that's supposed to be the central focus of the restoration of God's kingdom back on the earth and our lives here on earth. That's what this whole Bible is all about. The restoration of God's kingdom on the earth. In the beginning, man, when God created heaven and earth, he launched it. And from Genesis chapter 3 in your Bible all the way to the end of the Old Testament is just a means to an end. Types and shadows. Because in the New Testament, man, that God lost in Genesis chapter 3, boy, he got that back. What he lost in Genesis chapter 3. He lost his family, our son. He lost us. And we lost him. What he did in the New Testament, he got us back. And he reconciled us back to him. What he doing all that? Who doing all that? That's what he doing. And he doing that, man, not because, man, you did this and you got this together. Everything that he doing, boy, is motivated for us. Like that gospel, that good news is motivated because he loves us. Ain't nothing you can do to earn this. You know, most of the time in the Bible, man, especially in the New Covenant, man, when he's talking about the judgment of God, you know what he's really talking about, man? To give unto man his righteous judgment. You know what your righteous judgment is? That you deserve all the love of God, that you deserve, man, to be forgiven, that you deserve to be cleansed from all your unrighteousness, that you deserve to be healed and delivered, man, from the bondage of Satan himself, that you deserve to be delivered from this old world of bondage, man, that we've been born and conditioned and trained, that you deserve to be forgiven of all your sin. Why? This man, it ain't your fault that you were born that way. You can't help but to be that way, man. You were born that way. You were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And that wasn't your fault. That was Adam's fault. One man. But in that one man was every man. Every woman, every boy, and every girl. In that one man. So that one man's fallen man brought man the consequences to every man. What was the consequences? Death. What? Separation from that love. Separation, man, from the Holy Spirit, that the one who that love is shed abroad in our hearts by. Can you imagine that being separated from God, who is love, separated from that love, and separated from the Holy Spirit, man, who the one who manifests that love in our lives. Separated from that and then born into this world that we live in here now, where there's racism and hatred and backbiting and slandering. And instead of us loving one another, speaking evil of one another, thinking the worst of one another, judging one another, not righteously judging one another, but judging one another according to their faults and mistakes. Listen, if God had to judge all of us according to that, then none of us would make it. We almost split hell wide open. But God so loved the world. What world? For that original world. Not that that was in the beginning that happened after Genesis chapter 3, but that was before Genesis chapter 3. That world that he had, that was in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, when he was walking and talking with everybody that was in Adam. In a place, in an environment, in an atmosphere that he planted on the earth. Called a garden of Eden. The presence of the Lord, a delightful place. That was on a spot or a moment on the earth. What was that, boy? The presence of the Lord, heaven on earth. And there he placed a man. And from there he told us, boy, listen, walk it, you created just like me. You in my image, you in my life. You a mighty man, you a mighty one. You can do all things, just like I can do all things. You can do all things. Same character that I have, you have on the inside of you. Same nature that I have, you have on the inside of you. Same greatness that I have, you have on the inside of you. Same power that I operate in, you have the ability to operate in that same power too. The same, just like I'm great, you great too. That's what God was talking to. That's what God was telling Adam and Eve and all mankind in the garden in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. There was no penalty for sin. There was no death. There was no separation. There was no sin committed. But that was Adam, man, all of us in Adam walking and talking with God in the cool of the day, 24/7, in the presence of the Lord, unbroken fellowship. That world, that arrangement, that pattern, that operation, and all those who dwelled in it. Who dwelled in it? There he placed a man, Adam, and all of us were in Adam. He loved that world so much. He loved that world so much. He loved that world so much. That arrangement, that pattern of operation. And that's what he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to bring back to this earth, to bring back to you and I. The prophet Isaiah saw, he said, unto us a child is born. That's Mary born. That's the body. That's the physical. That's Jesus. and unto us a son is given. Boy, that's Christ. That's God's boy there. That's Emmanuel. That's God in man. Come to dwell once again among us. To cleanse us up from all the unrighteousness that we were born in as a result of Adam's disobedience. Cleanse us up from all of that, man, so that righteous judgment could come, man, upon us. So that we can be restored back to what we lost in Adam. Amen, Lord. So that we can come, all of us who are blessed of our Father, and get our inheritance. What inheritance? The one that was prepared for us before the foundation of the world. What inheritance is that? All of the kingdom of heaven. So what good it is, man, to gain the whole world, have all the money in the world, and everything else, and then die and go to hell. When you can have much more than all the money in the world, you can have all of the kingdom of heaven and live forever in that kingdom. Hallelujah. And boy, he is a love of God, boy. That's why I told you, boy, that's an honor and a privilege. Man, that God would allow me to come on this radio broadcast, boy, and just share with you the love of God. You know, his greatest act of love is not just to die on the cross for our sins. That's a great act now. That's the means. That's the way. That's the door. But boy, you know what his greatest act is? To restore back to you and I, boy, that arrangement, that world. That was in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. That's what he all about, boy. He come to restore that back. What do you say? Unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and a government shall be upon his shoulder. And that shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. And he shall set up on a throne of David and of his kingdom, what kingdom? That governing system of the kingdom of heaven that he came, man, with on his shoulder to restore back to earth and to mankind. That governing authority, that ruling authority, that governing influence, what governing influence? The governing influence of God. That's the kingdom of God. To restore that back to the earth so that you and I can now come back into that. And then listen, that's just the beginning. Born again is just the beginning. But after you and I come back into that, then now we got to grow up into that. See, we've been groomed and grew up in theology and religion and church as we know it. And that's a good thing. But if you're not careful, boy, you'll stop at the means and forward to the end. That's a means to an end. What? To the restoration plan of God. To the restoration message of God. Not just the redeeming message of God and the redeeming plan of God, but what we were redeemed for. What was the purpose for him dying upon the cross? And him cleansing us from all unrighteousness. Why? So that, boy, we could get righteous judgment. So that we could be redeemed from that curse of the law that Adam sold all us and birthed all of us into. So that through that one man disobedience, sin came upon the whole human race, and through sin, death reigned unto all men. Even so, by the righteousness of one man, and the grace of God shall the forgiveness of all sin come, man, and we shall reign in life. How? Through righteousness. That's in your Bible in Romans chapter 5. But if you don't know that, and if you just hear that every now and then, listen, faith come by hearing and hearing and hearing. Just like you got faith in the resurrection of Jesus, just like you got faith in him coming and dying on the cross for your sin, because that's all you've been hearing that all your life. That's, but boy, let me tell you something, there's a going on. There's a greatest message. There's a greater message than that. Jesus said, I'm not it. I'm the way to it. I'm the truth about it. having the life, the manifested life, the manifested life about it. You see how you see me operating, man, and ruling and reigning over every circumstance and situation and something that confronts my life here on this earth? Yeah, I'm the way to that. You want to be like so-and-so and Reverend so-and-so and Bishop so-and-so and I want to mention it like that? No, Lord, I ain't never been impressed by nobody's mess. I thank God for all of them because they are means to an end. What end? To the boy, we all come to the fullness of a statue of Christ. So we all come to the unity of the faith. Ephesians chapter 4. You see, I give you these gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, what? For the perfecting of the saints. That's all, that's you all, everybody out there. For what? For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. Who is the ministry to the fivefold ministry? No, the ministry is to the boy of the saints. To all us believers. This ministry had to go into all the world and let the world know that God was in Christ Jesus, reconciling the world back unto himself. Until we all come to the unity of the faith. To the fullness of a stature of Christ. Until we then look like Christ, act like Christ, talk like Christ, be like Christ. Because as he is, so are we. But boy, you got to hear that and hear that and hear that and hear that. Can you imagine, man, if this all we've been hearing, man, for the last 2,000 years? And our speech and our teaching and our preaching wouldn't be just with enticing words of man wisdom that can stir up our emotions. And that's a good thing. That gives you hope for the future. And let me tell you something. Faith is the suffering of things hope for. You can't have no faith without first having hope. So that's a means to an end. That ain't no evil thing. That's just what the devil used against you for to keep you from getting to the end. What's the end, boy? Just like Jesus. To have that kind of ministry. Well, not just enticing word and going around preaching good sermon and everything else, but casting out devils and destroying the works of the devil. Going about doing good and destroying all the works of the devil. Why? Because Jesus said, for that's why I was sent. Jesus said, I must preach the gospel of the kingdom to other cities as well. Why? Because that's why I'm sent. Listen, I'm going to say something right here, and then I don't say this to condemn you, but I say this to convict you. Most believers, I don't know if I would stretch it, I say most of you who listen to the radio broadcast, you know, you don't know the word. You really don't read the Bible. Just like you eat every day and breathe every day. And how much of the word of God that you eat and breathe? How much of the word of God that you know? That you know. How much time do you spend in the Word of God? And when you go to church, do you search the scriptures to see whether what the apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers are saying was the Word of God? The Bible says, until we all come to the unity of the faith. Listen, my job when I come on this radio broadcast is to edify you. That's my gift. Exalt. Exhortation. To exalt you. You know, we sang the song, Lord, we exalt you. Well, boy, Lord sent me on this radio broadcast to exalt you. I told you, boy, the gospel of the kingdom is not the good news about Jesus. The gospel of the kingdom, that specific gospel that I've been talking about, boy, and this powerful force in the universe, the word of God, and this greatest force in the universe, is the love of God, man. That's the kingdom of God. That's the gospel of the kingdom. And boy, you know what is the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. You know what the gospel of it is? You know what the good news about it is? That's your inheritance. You know what the good news about it is? That you are just like Jesus. That you are created in the image and likeness of the Most High God. That you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. That we can, man, walk out of sickness into hell. That we can walk out of poverty in the well. That we can walk out of man division into unity. That we can walk out of darkness into the marvelous light. What do you mean, out of ignorance, out of all that we don't know? That's darkness. Well, over into aboard the kingdom of God, dear son, the kingdom of light, whether it is information, knowledge. This is not a great inspirational message that we heard, and that ain't no bad thing, but that's a means to an being. There's a purpose for that. The whole purpose for the inspirational lesson and stirring up our emotions is to inspire us to go get some information, to go see whether what the preacher's saying, man, is the word of God or not, man. And watch this here. You ain't got to know how to read. You don't have to be well adverse in words. All you got to do is seek. All you got to do is ask and seek and knock and keep on asking and keep on seeking and keep on knocking. And I guarantee you, man, you know, you'll receive. And I guarantee you, you'll find. And I guarantee you, man, the door will be open. How come you ain't been knocking and keeping on knocking and asking and keeping on asking and seeking and keeping on seeking? Because, boy, you ain't been preached that good news about you. You've been preached the good news about the door. What's the door? That's Jesus. He's not only the way, the truth, and the life, but he's the door into this. This way, this truth, this life. He is the door into the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. It don't bring no glory to our Father in heaven if we just stop and worship at the door. I told you he wants us to come past the gates of thanksgiving, past the courts of praise, past the sanctuary, past the church service, past the good preaching, all the way, man, behind the door. What door, boy? What the Bible called it, boy, was a middle wall of partition that separated, man, the holy place from the holies of holies. That separated us, man, from the presence of the Lord. That separated us, man, from the kingdom of heaven and all that it consists of. That separated us from the Garden of Eden. That separated us from the Holy Spirit. That wall that did that, and what caused that? Our sins. That wall that did that, boy, when as Jesus Christ death on the cross, that wall was torn into, signifying that every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl can come past the gates of thanksgiving, past the courts of praise, past the sanctuary, past the church service, all the way into a personal relationship with God. All the way, and listen, and come boldly. Come boldly, where are the boldly to the throne of God's grace. We will pray, God, to obtain mercy and to find grace to help us in our times of need. In other words, boy, to grow up into this new life. Listen, most of us have been born again, but if you don't know the word of God, then you're just a little bitty baby. You don't know how to walk like God wants you to walk and talk like God wants you to talk and live like God wants you to live. You don't know how to resist the devil. You don't even know the strategies of the devil, man. Why? Because you ain't been taught that. You ain't been preached that. You've been preached good sermons about the door, but you ain't been preached, man, what's behind the door. What's behind the door? I give you power over all the powers of your enemy. I give you the ability to tread upon scorpions and demons and devils. And I give you ability over all the works of the devil. Well, boy, let me tell you something, boy, you resist them and they'll flee from you. I give you the ability, boy, to destroy all the works of the devil. What's the work of the devil? To separate us from the most powerful force in the universe, the word of God, and to separate us from the greatest force in the universe, which is the love of God. But boy, let me tell you something. God started something in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. What he started? He started, boy, what he had chose before the foundation of the world. He started, boy, that which was from the beginning, that which was in the mind and the heart and the will and the desire of our Father in heaven. You know what his will was? Before the foundation, before he even created the heaven and the earth. You know what his will was? That he teaches in our prayer, but without knowledge and understanding, then you might miss it. You know what his will is? I said today, you know what his greatest desire for our life is? That it might be in our lives here on earth, just like it is in heaven. That we might have good church and put on good programs and inspire one another and everything else. No, that's all good things too. That's the means to that end. But boy, his greatest desire and will for our life, that it might be in our lives here on earth, just like it is in heaven. But what purpose are there? So that earth might be a colony of heaven. So that it might be on earth just like it is in heaven. And you know in the end of your book, in Genesis chapter 21, it says this, and behold, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, the city of peace. No more demons, no more devils, no more sickness, no more disease, no more hatred. Jerusalem, the city of peace. Where that peace come from? Boy, all of us in right standing in it with God. In right alignment with God. Restored back to, boy, our original man purpose and destiny and assignment. Boy, colonized in earth with heaven. Earth is a colony of heaven. And the same thing that's going on in heaven is going on in our lives here on earth. And everything from Genesis chapter 3 all the way to the end of your Bible is a means to that end. And then in the end of the Bible, it says this. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from heaven. Listen, I ain't say we ain't going to go to heaven, but that's not where we're going to spend eternity. I'm going to keep saying that over and over and over until that gets past your intellect and down into your spirit. You're going to go to heaven. Hey, but when it's all said and done, boy, you're coming back to a new air, to a new atmosphere that you and I live in that's conducive to the earth, conducive for you and I to live in on the earth, and a new earth. And the new earth is like, boy, a city is like Jerusalem, the city of peace. Ain't no wilderness. It's all of the kingdom of heaven. It's all of the Garden of Eden. The whole earth is a Garden of Eden. And always, I want to say an always, it's a city of love. And not no any kind of love. I'm talking about the one love. What love? The love of God. The agape love of God. That same love that God loved us with, that we love him with, and that we love in one another with. That's what you call to. Glory to God. Listen, let me read something to you, you know, in Colossians chapter 1, in close. Paul writing this to you and I, to the church. That's us. That's to all of us, the church. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. And Timothy, our brother, to the saints and to the faithful brethren and sisters in Christ Jesus, who's listening to this broadcast under the sound of my voice, and all those who are in Colossae and all over the world and all of believers, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Praying what? Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for us in heaven. This is what he say. Ever since I heard of your faith, that you believe, that you are believing, you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that, boy, you receive God's love, and your desire is, boy, to love as God, that same love which you have, not only for God, but for all the saints. For what purpose? For the whole which is laid up for us in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Remember when I told you, whenever you hear the word gospel, then, man, you know, let's take it further than, man, just the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's gospel. But there's a greater gospel than that. And the gospel is your restoration. The greatest story, man, is the story, man, of God's history of you. From the beginning. They say, which came unto us as it is in all the world, bringing forth fruit, as it does also in you. How it bringing forth fruit? By man continuing to sow forth the gospel, the seed of the gospel of the kingdom into the lives of God's people. See, listen, that message has been hid in the graveyard of religion. And it ain't really been preached. They didn't preach the other good news. But we ain't been preached that gospel. The gospel of the kingdom. The good news about you. That's why you don't know who you are. That's why the church living, we as a church, we don't know who we really are. We don't know, man, what we really have, what we really can do, where we really come from, why we really here, where we really go in up in. We don't know the laws of the kingdom. We know the laws that God gave Moses. Don't steal, don't kill, don't commit adultery, don't cover, don't. We know those laws. Now you try to live according to those laws. Let me tell you something, boy. I'll tell you a better way than how you can fulfill those laws. When you learn, when we come to the knowledge that the laws of God. Let me finish reading. The laws of the kingdom. They say, we cease not to give thanks for you and to pray for you, and as you, for which is come unto you as it is in all the world, we bring forth fruit that it does also in you, since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. As you also learn of your ministers over that you come to and share with you the kingdom of God. That's what this verse is saying in verse 7. And you also learn of Ephesus, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause, that we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. This is my prayer for you and my desire for you, that you might be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Say that again, Arthur. That you might be filled with the knowledge of God's will for your life. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding. For what purpose? So that you might then be able to walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good word. Not just enticing words of man wisdom, but in demonstration and power, producing the fruit of God's word, the manifestation of God's word, and increasing in the knowledge of God. I tell you, most believers don't know the word. And why? And as that is taking place, being strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joy. That means, man, you know, through faith and patience, man, growing up in the kingdom. This is not enough to get in the kingdom and even come behind the door. Now you got to grow up in it. See, when you come into the kingdom, you come into the kingdom, you got to be born into it, and a little bitty baby, born of the Spirit. Little bitty babies don't know how to walk and talk and feed themselves. You're under governor and tutor until the appointed time. You got to grow up in the kingdom. You don't give a baby, man, you know, $100,000 and tell him to go down to the mall and go shopping, and he ain't but 2 years old. No, they got to grow up. That's why, you know, he said, I commend you unto the word of God's grace, Acts chapter 20, verse 32, which is able to build you up. To build you up, man, just like you grew up in this natural life, in this natural birth. When you're born into the kingdom, you got to grow up in it too, to maturity too. Listen, God don't send no children out to fight the devil. That's why, boy, the fields are ripe for harvest, but the laborers are few. Yeah, they go and preach good sermon, but boy, then we destroy the works of the devil. What's the work of the devil? To keep you blind into the truth. To keep you, man, you know, from the knowledge of the truth. To keep you separated from God. To keep you from coming to, boy, the knowledge of not just the gospel of Jesus, but the gospel that Jesus preached. Well, again, Arthur, what's the gospel that Jesus preached, boy? That as I am, so are you. That you are a mighty man and you are a mighty woman of the Most High God. That you can do all things through Christ Jesus. He said, come, you with heaven later, and learn of me. My yoke is easy, my burden is light, and I'll give you rest. Hallelujah. What are you saying in all this, all that I close? This is what God wants. God wants us to grow up in the kingdom. Huh? And then we as ministers, boy, let's go back to the drawing board and find out what Jesus preached, and then go, man, and preach, man, not only the good news about him, but the good news that he preached. I challenge all of us. That we might do that. Listen, I love you with the love of the Lord. My time is up on this radio, and I promise you, if you stay tuned, and God's going to bless you. We would like to come on this radio broadcast even more than what we do. We come on once a week. And boy, listen, for that faith to be developed on the inside of us, boy, the Lord told me we need to be on every day of the week.